Hey
Hey.
guys. Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Twin anxiety sucks.
Sponsored by Nami OC.
Ooh.
Look at us doing that little tip tap tap.
how are you guys doing today? Well, I guess you guys can put in the chat below how you guys are doing today. But Maddie, how are you doing today?
Chat below. I'm doing good. The sun is shining. The birds are singing.
Oh.
And it's a good day, and I'm gonna find a job today. I'm gonna go to show up to a couple places and put my resume in and,
Exciting.
give them a smile and a wink and hope they hire me on the
Yeah.
spot,
Yeah.
basically. What's going
How
on?
exciting. But
How are you?
that means that you're that's like a a job on top of the podcast. Like you're not leaving the podcast. It's
Oh
not
yeah, no, of course. I just
you're not leaving the pod.
It just, we need a little extra cash on the side,
Yeah, you're probably right. Totally. I might need to go get another job pretty soon. Even though I have a full-time job. Woo! It's
it's hard
hard out here and it's expensive to live.
out here, okay?
But today
What
we're
about
gonna.
you, Brie? How are you doing?
Oh, I don't know how I'm doing today. Today's been a weird day, but before this podcast, we were talking, me and Maddie. And Maddie made me feel a lot better. So I think that doing this podcast is gonna help me even more so. It's gonna be very therapeutic for me. Yeah, I just right now I'm just in a weird moment. I think I'm in a lot of weird moments. I'm in a very, very much in the middle of many different things. And I would like to just like settle down. You know what I mean? But I can't settle down yet because it's just not the time. Someone told me it's like when you're in your early 20s, it's like being in purgatory. And that is like the best description of what it feels like to be this young. Do you know what I mean?
Because I mean, it's tough. You don't have enough experience to get the job that you want.
Yeah.
And then to add on top of that, there's personal dramas
Yeah.
and whatever, and
Exactly. And it's just like you don't know what you want to do yet. Like you're still trying to figure out yourself. Like it's like purgatory. Like you're in the in between.
did you know Dante actually invented the idea of purgatory?
I
Like
think I did
Dante
know that.
Alighieri, the guy who wrote like the Divine Comedy.
I think I
Like
did.
before that, like purgatory like wasn't even a thing.
Yeah,
Or
that's kind of
limbo.
limbo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I
So the
don't know.
best thing you can do, Brienne, is just make the best out of your purgatory slash limbo situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I'm gonna try to do. And I think,
Guys, just wanted to say thank you for bearing with us last week or 2 weeks ago when we did our little happy Halloween episode,
yeah.
because
I hope you
we
guys
just wanted
enjoyed
to
it.
take a little bit of a break from the deeper, more intense stuff and just do something a little more lighthearted. So
Yeah.
I don't know if it was boring for you, I apologize, but
We
maybe
hope
it
you
could have been.
enjoyed.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed. This week, however, we are back on our grind. We are back on the topic of, guess what, Brian? Anxiety sucks.
Anxiety sucks. True.
Okay.
More specifically, you're talking about how to be on your own and to live on your own and to be okay with being on your own, I guess. Because, everyone deserves a little bit of independency.
Everyone deserves it. Most people don't want it. I
True.
know, I mean, I don't want it personally, but I know that one of the best tools you can have in your toolbox is to know how to be alone with yourself,
Yeah.
like with your own thoughts,
So true. It is one of the most helpful things, I think. I think it also is like it's very freeing, you know what I mean? Like when you can like really just like be happy on your own. One, I think it's like you have finally learned how to like truly unapologetically love yourself. Two, like you are prioritizing your own mental health above anyone else, and that's not a selfish thing to do. It's actually like the best thing you can do for yourself. So I think there's a lot of benefits to knowing how to be on your own. But yeah, it's something that not a lot of people want because a lot of people are afraid of being lonely, which I get. Yeah.
It's scary because, you know, we've talked a lot about worthless states of mind and having negative thoughts and those negative thoughts spiraling into you, you know, becoming something that is not fun.
Yeah.
AKA depression. But I think for me, when I was kind of, I went into college and I was kind of thrown into constantly being surrounded by people, then learning to get away from that and say, oh, okay, do I need all of these people around me all the time for that sort of validation that I was looking for so desperately? But it was funny because I, like, now it's so easy for me to like look at myself and say, oh, you really needed validation from other people.
Yeah.
When at the time I didn't know that I needed that. I was just so desperately searching for it that it was, I didn't realize that it was a driving force behind so many of my negative thoughts and feelings. You know what I mean? Yeah,
totally. I think validation is like, there's nothing wrong with validation. Validation is a great thing. And that also like helps you definitely reassure yourself when other people kind of validate your feelings. But also you shouldn't like depend on that validation of others. Like you should be able to validate yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's really hard because that,
so
I mean,
hard.
That comes with self-love. Like,
yes. So hard.
RuPaul always says, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? And that's so true because, I mean,
so
I think I'm still working on my self-love and self-confidence, you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is nothing that happens overnight, like in any way. This is a lifetime of work.
Yeah.
And it'll always keep growing and going on. And, you know, you'll learn, you'll fail. And that's okay. That's okay. It all just helps you out in the long run.
And I think one of the main things we can focus on is meditation, because that is kind of the epitome of, you know,
ahead. No, you go.
I was going to ask, have I already mentioned that thing about, oh no, I did talk about this. Because I think I talked about it last week or something, but it was something about, you know, when you meditate, you sit with those feelings that you've been avoiding all day, you know, and how me just being able to say, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about when you say that. I know exactly what feeling you're talking about, that feeling.
Yeah.
And that feeling, I mean, ultimately is basically just me not wanting to sit with my own thoughts.
Totally. I think meditation is like a really good way to learn how to be on your own, or like to sit with your own thoughts and feelings. It's like the best way to attain it, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think both of us in the past 2 years, maybe 3 years, have really, really learned what it's like to be on our own. Just from the things that we've done, like you've traveled alone for a really long time. I've lived in New York, which is a very lonely place, even though it's filled with people, you just are so lonely. And I think, you know, us going
that
through
is totally a misconception about cities in general.
So true.
When you
so
go
true.
To a city, you're going to be like constantly surrounded by people, and which you are, but
yeah, no, but
constantly
you're
surrounded by people, but very alone.
Yeah. You're very alone, and it's just like a very different lifestyle and stuff. And but like, I guess for you, like, what was it like to like fully travel on your own with no one? You literally moved to a Buddhist monastery. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
In France, like, you didn't even speak the language. Like, how was it like? Were you nervous? Were you like, was it scary? Like, how did it go? Like,
yeah, I think leading up to it, because I knew for several months beforehand that I was going to be doing it. And that whole period leading up to it, like the only feeling I had was pure excitement, and I need to get out of the situation that I'm in right now. So, but then once I actually physically got to the country of France, I was like, oh wait, I don't speak the language. But luckily I was doing this program called Workaway, which if anybody knows what that is, or if you don't, I'll tell you. It's basically an online database of a bunch of hosts from around the world. So you type in where you want to go, and all these hosts come up. And it's kind of like a little listing, and they tell you what type of work that you would be doing. But in exchange for the work you do, you get free housing and accommodation. So it's the cheapest way to travel. It's really, really nice. And there's also reviews from past people who have gone there who, you know, they give it to you straight. They say, oh, this is a really nice place to go, or this place is not so great. And it's totally safe. I did multiple of them and nothing ever happened. And I've never heard of much bad things happening. But anyways, so I found this monastery on there, and I initially was drawn to it because it was so beautiful. The listing showed it's like this gigantic abandoned castle, I get not abandoned I don't know it's just like a giant castle in like the middle of France, which is just a dream, you know what I mean? Who doesn't want to go stay in a gigantic castle for a couple weeks, you know? And it was just so beautiful in the pictures. I was like, I have to go here. And and I started talking with, her name was Stephanie, and we were chatting on WhatsApp, and she was just telling me about all the things I would be doing. It was a retreat in the way that, almost like a hotel kind of, because people would come and then stay for a weekend or a week and take these meditation courses and learn how to meditate. But for us, the work aware people, we were, cleaning, cooking, mostly cleaning and cooking. And the nice thing was there were other workaway people there from all around. So, because it's a big place, so they can house multiple at a time. And there was a girl named Hazel from England, who is one of my really good friends to this day. We still talk, and she's super cool. And I'm so thankful that I met her while I was there. And Vladdy, she was from Belgium. She was so cool. She was only there for the first three nights I was there, but she was so awesome. But anyways, you asked how it was. Basically, before, it was really exciting. When I got there, the initial first night, I was kind of terrified because I didn't know the language. But once I met the other workaway people there, and I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. Yeah. They know the language. I don't know the language. I was literally the only one there who didn't know French. yeah, so
also, it's kind like of funny, a little fun side story.
What?
Just a fun little side story is that right before Maddie went to France, I came and visited her in Chicago, and she had like all in her room, she had like sticky notes of items, like sticky notes on items that were the French word version. So I remember, like, on a light it would be like lose or something, I think that's what it is, or something like that.
I
don't know if you're French. I might have got that wrong, but it was just so funny. And she's like, we have to speak in French. I'm like, I'm not trying to learn French, and also I don't know any of these words, so
yeah. Well, it didn't work out very well because I still didn't know any
words. But you tried, there. You know, you tried.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah, that's so funny. I forgot I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I had my little Duolingo app.
Yeah.
So the thing was, is that even though I met all those people there and I ended up making some really awesome connections with people, I also felt like I was there for a reason. I was there to be friends and make friends with everyone, right? But I also was there for myself, and I had a lot of stuff I need to work out by myself, which was pretty easy to do because they had us on like a schedule that didn't necessarily line up with everyone. So there was a lot of time where I was just alone and I could do whatever I want, basically. And I remember that I was scared to leave my room the first day just because I had anxiety about someone coming up to me like, bonjour. And I'd be like, hello, bonjour. And then I would say it, and then they would try and continue the conversation. And then I'd be like, no, je ne, you know, I don't speak, like, you know.
Yeah.
But so I had anxiety about that for like the first day. But then once I was like, okay, Maddie, you need to leave your room. I took a lot of walks around the grounds because they were huge. There were these like huge trees that were like right to the left that I didn't realize, but they led out to this literal fairy magical forest. So once I found that my third day, I went out there every single day, like multiple times a day, just because it was, I felt like I was in Narnia or something. And I got to take the meditation classes, and it was a little different from what I was expecting because, first of all, I didn't speak French, and they had an English one, but the English one I went to, or the English one I couldn't go to because I had my work scheduled during that time. So the only ones that I could go to were the French ones. It didn't really matter though, because the gist was the same and I could kind of just follow what other people were doing. And I was just kind of like, well, if I don't know what they're saying, then I'm just gonna, you know, try and focus on what's going on in my brain right now. And from that point on, I mean, it's a bummer because I don't meditate as much as I wished I did, like to this day. But I think that it's one of those things, you know, how we talk about strengthening your like mind in the same way you strengthen your muscles. I think it's one of those things where the more you do it, the bigger the habit will become, and it's easier for you to sort of, you know, focus on your breathing and get away from those thoughts that are, you know, kind of clouding.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a really amazing experience. And I wished I could have stayed longer. I mean, after that, I went to a different workaway and then another one after that. So I was alone for 3 months straight in other countries, not just France. I ended up going to some other places too, but I remember that I was excited to come back and see my family, but more than that, I wanted to learn more about myself, if that makes sense, because it felt, I don't know, this might have been a blockage that I put on myself, but I felt like if I came back, all of the work that I had been doing would be put on pause. It was almost like I couldn't continue it back in the US with my normal life happening around me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I feel like I do that to myself a lot. I put these blockages on. I'm like, oh, well, if I do that, then this must be this way.
Yeah.
When really that's not the case, because but unfortunately, that's exactly what I did. I came back and I put that whole thing on pause and I was like, okay, like, that was like my journey, pause, next act is coming later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
do you think you like found like yourself more? Like, do you think you were
finding yourself? Sounds so like,
no,
I know. Like I found myself.
I'm not trying to say like
that's,
that.
Like, not what I meant. It's more just like, okay, I think what really it was is that when you're in the social dynamics that you're used to, right? And you're with all the people who are in your life all the time, you get in sort of a routine and you start thinking to yourself, okay, this is the way I am and this is the way I act. So you feel like you can't really stray from that because this is the way that everybody else around you knows you. Does that make sense? Like if I stray from how everybody else thinks of me and how everybody else perceives me, then I mean that's weird, like I like, you know what I mean? But it's limiting and it feels like a cage because then you feel like you can't be your true self, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it was just really exciting for me to be able to exit those dynamics and go somewhere where I didn't know anyone. And so I could literally just do exactly what I wanted all the time. The other thing is I'm kind of a people pleaser. So when I am surrounded by people that I know, or I'm surrounded by those dynamics, I feel the urge to people please. So it was nice being somewhere where I didn't have that at all. And that's why it was so freeing for me, because then I had all that time that I usually spend people pleasing or trying to, I mean, I've always been like a mediator of so dynamics, right? So it's like, what, when I took a break from that, it was so awesome, because I was like, oh my God, now I can think about the things I want to think about, do the things I want to do, and have no other, I don't know, it's like obligations or requirements of me. It felt really nice.
Yeah. Do you think was this maybe one of the first times you put yourself first
rather than putting 100%. It was the first time ever, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also it's exciting to learn how that feels.
Yeah. And what bums me out is that when I came back, I stayed on the flow for a little bit because I had been writing a lot. So I stayed in that habit of writing a lot and reading a lot. But it's like I got a job at a restaurant, and all of a sudden I was back. And it was at a restaurant that I had never worked at before. I was living in a place I'd never lived in before. So I got a job at a restaurant, and all of a sudden I was back in the normal social experience that I just was trying so hard to get away from, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And then I fell right back into it you know. But then I met my boyfriend, and that was nice.
Yeah.
So there was an upside to it, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
And probably you going on your trip around the world or around Europe, probably honestly helped you find and secure your relationship that you're in now. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like if you hadn't gone on that,
you might have not been in the same headspace.
I've thought about that before. Yeah.
Of not being able to be in a relationship, but because you did that, you were able to open yourself up and to this person and be in a good relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was nice was when I was abroad, I remember thinking to myself, I want to meet someone, not necessarily romantically. I just thought, I want to meet someone who treats me the way that I treat other people. Because I mean, really besides you, there's a couple other people I can think of, but unfortunately they don't live by me. So I was just you don't live by me, you know, these other friends that I'm thinking of who do treat me like I treat other people, they don't live by me. And so I was like, I just want to meet a friend or someone. I just want to meet someone who treats me with the same respect, you know. I don't know.
I think that's a really hard thing to find.
It's impossible, actually.
Yeah, it really is. It's so hard.
No, I can't say that because I found it, but
yeah. But it's so hard to find someone who is willing and able to treat you like how you treat others. And I think that is a standard that people don't how do I explain this? People lose sight of that standard, if that makes sense. They kind of forget about that they should have that, but it is so hard to find that at the same time too. You know, it's not an easy thing to find. You were just one of the lucky ones who did get to find it. So
it's just, I don't know. Well, so then also, I don't know. Nothing's black and white, obviously. And I think though, definitely if I hadn't done that whole thing, I feel like I would be in a completely different place right now, which I guess is what you could say that about anything that happens in your life.
Yeah. But, you know, totally. But I think just that, I mean, your past just like went into the fact that you just did that. And now you see the, like, the improvements of your mental health from that.
Yeah.
Which is why.
And I,
oh, go ahead.
I still struggle with being alone though. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like you did one thing and like, you're good to go. You know what I mean? Like it's going to, it takes time and effort and it's a lot of work and it's not easy. Yeah. But it's like the, what you were talking about, like your brain, it's just like training your brain and like working on it constantly in order for it to become like second nature to you.
Right.
Which is hard. It's a hard, it's a lot of work, but it is possible.
So now my question for you is, what was it like going to New York and feeling so alone?
Hefty question. Going to New York was like, well, first of all, and I don't, you definitely remember this, but when I first went, I hated my first semester. I hated it. I really was like, I do not like this place in any way, shape, or form. And then I came back because of COVID. Well, I came back for Christmas. Then I went back and I started making new friends and whatever. And I started to like meet people for the first time. And I was like, wow, this is great. And not to bring up COVID, but COVID did cut my first year short. So I had to come home. And then I went back a few months later and I just felt, you just feel so lonely, especially I am a California born and raised girl. So going and experiencing like the first winter there, how everything gets so dark. So, I mean, like seasonal depression, like all of that, like it's so real. It's so, it happens and you just feel horrible. You really do. That going through all of that was like really difficult, but at the same time, I had this long distance boyfriend. And so I just like kind of depended on him to like help me out through everything, even though he wasn't even there. Like just the fact that I could like call him or text him whenever I wanted was like, I had that, even though I had like my, I was so close with my roommates and whatever, like just having someone like on the outside, you know what I mean? Who like wasn't experiencing New York at the same time, because also my, I don't want to really speak for them, but I mean, they've told me like they were struggling just as much as I was at first, like winter we had together. So kind of just like having that. And I was, I always kept saying like, oh, just because I'm in a long distance relationship right now, like I am finding myself, like finding myself, you know, and I like, I know how to be on my own. Wow. But it's like all, at the same time, like you're also with this person. Now looking back, like, no, like that's not how it went for me, I should say. Like I, like he was my crutch. Do you know what I mean? Like anytime anything happened, I would just go to him. Like I would tell him immediately, like, that's not being on your own and then also having a significant other. So when we broke up, I was like, wow, this is the first time, like, I mean, I'm like alone in New York. Like now I have no one, like I have to like, you know, check out this dating scene for the first time, which I know is kind of weird to say, but it's a, that is so much of the culture in New York, is when you go there, like people are just like going on dates nonstop and like trying to meet people because the city is so lonely, even though there's whatever it is, like 7 million people who live there. Maybe it's more, I don't know. Maybe it's less. Like you don't know all the 7 million people, even though you're surrounded by everyone, you're so lonely because everyone is also like on the mindset of like, they don't want to talk to you. Like they're just there. They're for their 9 to 5 and they leave. Like, that's it. There's no extra, like, let's hang out. Let's meet these people or these people. Yeah. Going to college,
it's considered annoying if you are like that.
Yeah,
you know?
exactly. Yeah. And like they have, like, this is wild to say, but they have this place called Bumble Cafe, and it's literally the app Bumble. They made a cafe for single people to go on dates. Like, it's just the city is like morphed around the dating scene, if that makes sense. Like, that is what you do when you're there. And because I wasn't doing that for the first half that I was there, it was just so like, I didn't know what to, like, I didn't know how to react to, like, all of it when I was involved now, like, when I was single. And so I felt so alone and, like, so lonely, and I really didn't like it. But I don't know. I think I just actively was like, the only way I'm going to survive living in this place is that if I prioritize myself first and, like, do what I want to do. Because that is the great thing about New York, is like, you can do whatever you want at any time. Like, you can go wherever you want. You don't have to worry about a car. There are so many forms of transportation. Like, it can get you anywhere. The excuse of like, oh, I can't get there, like, because I don't have my license, so I use that a lot, like, it's just not valid there, just because you can do whatever you want whenever you want. Everything is open all the time. So I don't know, like, having that and, like, going into that scene, I was just like, I need to, like, really prioritize myself and, like, do whatever I want to do, like, genuinely what I want to do, and I don't want to do anything for anyone else. And I think I learned that a lot while I was there.
Yeah.
And then now I've moved back, and I think, like, the second part of me learning how to, like, be on my own is enjoying, especially just being out of school too, but, like, enjoying being bored or just, like, having nothing to do. And it's not like I have nothing to do every single day. Like, I do work every day, so I have things to do, but it's just like every now and then I'll get a day off, or, like, I'll just have a day where I don't have any obligations or anything to anyone, and, like, really enjoying it and just finding, like, the little things that make you happy so you can enjoy it is so helpful of, like, knowing how to be on your own. Does that make sense?
I think it's that and finding some sort of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have to be religion, but that.
Yeah, like, believing in something that's bigger than yourself is, like, so important.
Yeah, and I don't know. I remember the thing that helped me out so much was knowing. So there were all these books around the meditation center that, you know, about various topics, but one of them was about samsara and, like, essentially, like, the circle of suffering and the way that we end up, you know, we're, like, suffering. The whole thing about Buddhism, like, we're suffering beings, we, you know, mm-hmm. continuously suffer. And so I think for me, it was a line in this book that said, putting other people, every other living being above yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was difficult because there's that, and then there's also, well, you need to prioritize yourself.
Right. It's very contradictory.
And I don't think you should go gung-ho one way or the other. I think mm-hmm. you could just find a nice balance mm-hmm. because obviously you don't want to be walked on your entire life. You don't want to be a people pleaser. But at the same time, I do think there is a lot of fulfillment in helping other people in whatever way you can, you know what I mean? Not necessarily whenever or all the time, but just, you know, making efforts here and there to say, okay, I feel confident in myself. It's like, you know, you fill your cup and so you can fill other people's cup. Mm-hmm. So I do try and do that as much as I can. And I feel like that has helped me a lot too, because then, you know, when I am alone, I think, okay, well, you know, yesterday I was at work and I was doing all these things and I was trying my best to help the people around me, but today is my day, and today I get to prioritize myself. It's all about that balance, you know?
Totally. 100%. Yeah. 1000%. I mean, everything in life is, like, balance, you know what I mean? Like,
we talk about that a lot.
We talk about that all the time, but it's so true. And I don't know, just, like, when you can genuinely just, like, sit at your house for all day with just yourself, like, you're not hanging out with anyone. And maybe I'm just maybe a little bit more antisocial than others, because I know, you know, I'm
pretty antisocial.
Yeah. Like, I like to say that I'm an I'm an extroverted introvert. Like, I will talk to people and I do enjoy it and I do like going out, but I love being inside in sweats and like watching movies, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm like an extroverted introvert, but I think when you can just enjoy like being with yourself and like you're taking the time to like do self-care or whatever, it like just like the value of self-care and alone will help you be okay with being alone by yourself or just like maybe not with someone at that time or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
So I think like learning the, like, I know self-care, we say, like, we talk about it all the time of like, you need to like do self-care and whatever, but self-care is so important. Like, it's so, so, so important. And it really, really helps you learn how to love yourself, which then can progress into like, oh, then I can be in a relationship with someone. I think, honestly, I think you really can't be in a relationship until you know how to be with yourself just alone. Because how are you going to put that onto someone else?
Well, because it's like you said, it's like a crutch otherwise.
Yeah, it's totally. And like, how are you going to be with that person if like you can't even handle your own issues? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you really have to like learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And like savor all the emotions. I know, like, you know, we talk about how emotions are so good. So then you can, it will be so much more beneficial in your relationships. Also, like, I know like journaling is such like one of those typical self-care things, but I like to kind of think of it as like journaling is like a way to communicate to yourself.
Yeah.
100%. You can't have like an open conversation with yourself. Well, then there's some work to be done, if that makes sense. I don't know. I hope that didn't sound too harsh, but.
No, I mean, I get it. And I think journaling is nice for me because sometimes my head just gets so overwhelmed that putting it on paper is like, I'm like, okay, I can release that thought, you know?
So true.
And yeah, it does sound really cliche, but being honest with yourself about why you are in a relationship with someone or why you are spending so much time doing this or, you know, that's really important too, because then, because I mean, you could also fully be in denial with yourself and say, oh, well, I know how to be alone, but I'm just in this relationship because blah, 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 when in reality, you actually have no idea.
Yeah. Also, it's not like a relationship with like a person either. Like, I want to stress that's like, it could be your relationship with your job. It can be a relationship with anything that you do. Like, if you are doing something so much all the time and it kind of becomes your crutch, like your kind of avoidance of you just being alone, like that's not what we want, or like that's not what I'm trying to say. I guess it's like, it's not necessarily like a romantic relationship or just a friendship. Like, it is truly like any relationship you have with anything in your life, like you still need to learn how to be on your own without that in your life.
And the worst thing you can do, I mean, I did this for so long, was I was passive with myself, where I knew exactly what was going on. I mean, deep down, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew why I was feeling the way I was feeling, because I was never truly, you know, I was just never being honest with myself about what was happening literally right in front of me. So then I would say, oh, well, I'm just gonna, you know, sit here and wallow in my thoughts because I'm lonely. And it was like, no, there's actual work to be done to help yourself out. And that's the worst thing you do is know, like, you know that you can be, you know, you can help yourself, and you just don't.
Right.
That was so frustrating for me. Like, and then I would beat myself up even more and more because I wasn't helping myself, you know?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I think also, like, our like last point here, when you're transitioning from being child into adulthood and you have to like you are like for 18 years, just, I'm going to talk this in a very stereotypical sense because everyone has a different childhood, everyone has a different story, whatever. But for most people, 18 years, you're with your parents. They're very helpful. They're very supportive of everything you do. And then they drop you off at college. And then you're like, oh no, like, what do I do now? You know what I mean? Like, you just like, don't know how to act. And I think that's just because like for 18 years, you've always like had that support system. And now for the first time, you're just like seeing like you are like alone.
Yeah.
Which I think is very difficult, especially for people who are like in our age group or age range right now from like 18 to 22, because, you know, when you don't have them, like for me, I was a plane ride away, like a hefty plane ride too. So when I didn't have that, I like really like I was more just like forced into it. But it was, looking back, it wasn't a bad thing. Like, I'm so happy I did that, because I think that really helped me grow and to like learn how to be on my own.
Kind of fast tracked that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to New York for college, it might hit the speed up button for that. But I think that was another thing of just like me going into New York, like not knowing anything. I didn't know anything about the city. I barely knew anyone. So yeah, I just like, I was kind of just thrown into the situation. But today, like now, I'm like very grateful for it all. And I'm happy that I did that. And I'm glad I stayed all 4 years in New York and stuff yeah. like that.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
It also, this sounds so bad, but it helps when you know that other people are struggling too, you know?
Totally. I think that's why, you know, like the purpose of this podcast is just to like let our listeners know that they are not alone in whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. Even though we're telling you how to be alone, but like you don't, like you're not alone. You know what I mean? Like so many people are going through.
Well, we're not telling you how to be alone. We're just saying these are the things that we have experienced. Yeah. This is how we got through.
So true. Yeah. So true. But yeah, I think that's being alone. Exciting stuff. Speaking of self-care, anything you've done, anything you've watched, listened, read?
I watched Gen V. It's a spin-off of The Boys. Have you heard of The Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's on Amazon Prime. And yeah, it's a spin-off and it's good. It's really good. Yeah, so I would recommend The Boys. I haven't been reading anything, sadly.
Yeah, I haven't either. I need to
get that. And I watched Celebrity Big Brother for the first time.
Oh.
I wasn't too impressed.
Never heard of it.
It was entertaining, but I wasn't down to like watch the whole. Do you know what Big Brother is?
No.
They like put a bunch of people in a house and then like people get voted out every time. It's like Love Island, but like
you're not okay.
Find love, kind of. It's just like, yeah. I don't know. But they have one with celebrities. Celebrities, so hopefully. Yeah. What about you, Brie?
I'm trying to think. The other, like, 2 days ago, I watched the newest, I mean, I already saw it, but I watched it again. The newest Spider-Man, like, Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Animation?
Like, the animated one.
Yeah.
So good. It's so good. It's just, the animation is so awesome in it. I love it. It's so, like, aesthetically pleasing to watch. So,
yeah,
I watched that. And I feel like I watched something else that was new, and I don't remember what it was. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But if you haven't watched that Spider-Man movie, watch that Spider-Man movie because it's so good.
Good word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today. I hope you guys liked the show. I hope you enjoyed what we had to say. And I hope it helps, you know, I hope it just helps to know that other people are going through the same stuff. Yeah. Also, you can leave us a review and rate the show if you want. Another way, easy way to support us is to share the show with your family and friends. Also, in order to keep this podcast growing and for us to keep continuing making new episodes, we would love it if you could fill out our survey. It really helps us know what you guys want to hear. That'll be linked in our little notes at the bottom. Actually, I don't know if it's going to be at the bottom, but it's going to be there somewhere. And if you want to connect with us, you can find us on our social medias. Our Instagram is Nami_OC. Our TikTok is Nami_OC. Our Facebook is Nami Orange County. Our YouTube is Nami Orange County. And you can email us at anxietysucks@namioc.org. Also, if you have any more recommendations for us. But that survey really helps us out. Also, if... What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, make sure to take our polls. If you're listening on Spotify, you can answer our little poll questions. We'll come up with a good one today, or for today's episode. But yeah, answer those, because we also like to hear, we like to connect with you guys. So we just want to connect, that's all. thanks Maddie. What?
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Maddie. This was a fun episode. I hope it helps. It's one of those big topics that you can't get to all of it in one episode, but
yeah,
little tidbits. These are our little tidbits of the day. Exciting.
Take them with a grain of salt, or take them with all the salts.
Yeah. All of it or none of it.
Whatever you would rather.
Exactly. All righty. We love you guys. Thanks for listening to us. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Anxiety Sucks. If you like this show, please rate and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps more people find the show and helps us share a message of mental wellness to people in our community. If you want to hear more of Anxiety Sucks, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Anxiety Sucks is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for medical or psychiatric advice, diagnoses, or treatment. Anxiety Sucks is funded by the OC Healthcare Agency through the Mental Health Services Act.